I'm going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. We're not really going to open up our Bibles and look at a certain passage of Scripture. I mean, we're going to look at some Scriptures tonight. But what I want you to think about, I don't want you to think about me. I don't want you to think about that goofy movie I was in a while ago. I don't want you to think about any of that. I want you to think about who I'm going to talk about. And who I'm going to talk about is Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in this world. Fossil, can you come up here for just a second? I'm not going to ask you to say anything. This gentleman is Fossil John. He's from Pakistan. He's a pastor in Pakistan. When he goes to Pakistan, when he talks about Jesus, he's under death sentence. People try to kill him. I don't know if he's personal or not, okay? But I know that people in his country, when he goes to talk about Christ, they try to kill you. And they do kill you sometimes. We're sitting here in this building tonight. We don't have anybody trying to kill us. We don't have anybody trying to knock the door down. We don't have anybody do anything to us. We come in here all of our own freedom so we can talk about Christ. You don't know how fortunate you are, guys, to be in this building tonight and be able to open this book right here, the Holy Word of God, and learn what it has to say. You're very fortunate. Therefore, I want you to listen to what we talk about. Not just me, but all the other speakers and the counselors this week. This may be your only opportunity to hear about Jesus. Let me ask you something. Anybody in here in pain? Raise your hand if you're in pain. I am. I'm talking about pain, guys. Physical, emotional, spiritual pain. Are you hurting? Okay? If anybody is hurting in this place tonight, we have the answer. I have the answer, and it's Jesus. And it's my prayer that before this week is out, that you'll come to know who He is. He wants a relationship with you. Okay? He's not just some, name in a book that we read about. He's real. He's a real person. And He wants to have a one-on-one relationship with you. Now, the theme of this camp this week is to tap into a greater love. There is a song. Well, let me say this, first of all. If a person says, "I love you," but there is no action behind it, it's worthless, is it not? If you're walking down the road and you see a guy that's freezing to death, and it's in the middle of the winter, okay, it's cold, and you say, "I love you, man," and you keep walking, what good is it? It does nothing, right? If a person says, "I love you," and backs it up with action, it has value. "Man, I'm freezing to death. Here, take my coat." That has value, does it not? There's something behind that. There's action. There's something there. But if a person says, "I love you," and dies in your place, it is priceless and therefore greater love. And I'm here to tell you that's what Jesus Christ did for you 2,000 years ago when He went on a cross. You had the death sentence on you. You had something called sin separating you from God. God is holy, you are not. I'm not. We have a problem. We were on our way to a place called hell, separated from God for eternity. But what did God do? He took care of the problem for us. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, came down and said, "You know what, man? I know that you're on your way to hell, and I'm going to do something about it. Not only am I going to offer you my coat, I'm going to die for you." That's what Jesus did. That's why we have this camp. That's a greater love. Okay? That's why we're up here doing what we're doing. Now go ahead and put up that first slide. There was a song several years ago written by, sung by a lady named Whitney Houston. Now listen, I'm not bashing on Whitney Houston here, okay? But I want you to pay attention to the words. She says, "Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be, so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity." And then finally, "Because the greatest love of all is happening to me, I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." And I'm here to tell you, that's not true. This woman in this song, okay, is searching for something. She's searching for something and she doesn't know what it is. She does. It's love. And we're going to talk about in just a few minutes that every one of us See, God put two things in your heart. He put desire and He put need into your heart. You were made that way. God created the human race to desire and to need. And in the garden before the fall, Adam had that need fulfilled. Eve had that need fulfilled by Jesus Christ. They walked together, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. And then along comes sin. And when sin came along, it separated the two. And now, Adam and Eve started turning to each other to find and fulfill that need. They started, all of a sudden, God was out of the picture. And so now, ever since then, the whole human race has been trying to fulfill a desire and a need that only God can fulfill. Did you hear what I just said? You need to understand that, young people. Okay? You need to understand that. Anytime you turn to another person to try and fulfill a need that only God can fill, you're gonna be unhappy the rest of your life. Okay? But she talked about in this song, learning to depend on herself and to find this greater love inside of me. Look, let me tell you something. The greatest love comes from somewhere else. The greatest love came from heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. I know for a fact that there's people in this camp this week that are unbelievers. I don't know who you are, but I do know that what I'm going to do is tell you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it needs to be told. People, places, things will always leave you disappointed and unsatisfied, and Jesus never will. I promise you that. That's what He did for me personally. That's what He did for a lot of people in this room. I want to show you another lyrics from another song. Yeah, before you put it up. Connor, don't answer this, you know it. Can somebody tell me what was the number one song of the 20th century? Anybody?
Amazing Grace.
Huh?
Amazing Grace.
No, it's not Amazing Grace. Anybody else?
Jesus Christ.
No, that's not it. Did anybody ever see Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
You know what the greatest song was? I didn't even know the name of it.
Rainbow.
What's it called?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Thank you. Tells you how much I remember about Wizard of Oz. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, way up high, is a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. That was the number one song of the 20th century. What do you see in that song, guys? What do you see in the lyrics? There's something. What is that?
Heaven,
right? There's something over the rainbow. There's something out there. There's something greater and better than where we are now. That's that desire thing I'm talking about. God put that there. He put that desire in your heart for Him. But by God, along comes sin, and it messes it all up. So what I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about the path to what we consider what is the greatest love. And the first thing we need to understand is that every one of us has missed the mark. We were born that way. We were born in something called sin. Anybody ever been scared? Raise your hand. Everybody's going to raise their hand on this one. I'm sorry. Everybody in this room has been scared at some point in their life. Anybody want to take a gander, take a guess at where fear comes from?
Sin.
You're a man. Sin. You know what the source of fear is? It's sin. Isn't that crazy? What was the first thing? If those of you that know the story of the Bible in Genesis, what was the first thing when Adam and Eve fell? What was the first thing they did when God came calling? What did they do? They ran and they hid. You know why? Because they were scared. God is in the house. Oh no, He's going to see this rottenness that I've become. He's going to see the sin thing. I am scared out of my mind and I'm going to run and hide from it. There you go. Sin, fear. Same thing. Okay? Now the object and the desire that we talked about, the desire and the need, the object of it, has changed from God to man, and we will always fail. Romans 1:17-20 tells us that God has revealed His holiness and His righteousness to the whole world, and we are all without excuse. That's a paraphrase. He's revealed who He is to the entire planet, all through human history. So all of us are without excuse. Romans 3:23 says that everyone is a sinner and falls short of God's glory. Since we fall short, we have a problem we can never reach, the holiness of God. Romans 6.3 tells us that the payout of sin is death. That is separation from God forever. But God offers us the gift of eternal life with Him, and the only way to get it is to put faith in Jesus Christ. It really is that simple. If you have fear in your life, guys, if you have pain, if you've been abused, if you've been hurt, if you've been dumped on, Jesus is not going to do that to you. He wants to be your best friend. But before He's your best friend, He has to be your Savior. And the only way He can be your Savior is to put your faith in Him. And when you put your faith in Him, He saves you. Remember that greater love we were talking about? You see? But it's a choice that you have to make. And all through this week, we're going to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. Oh, I want to be saved. I'm not going to make you do any of those things. It's a personal decision. But I promise you, I'm going to tell you this again before the night's over. If you want to talk to somebody about faith in Christ, if you don't quite understand what it means, find your counselor. Find one of the teachers and ask them. Pull them off to the side if whatever you want to do, and that will remain between the two of you. This is important, people. This is important. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. So the first thing we need to understand is that we were sinners, that we are sinners, that we're born that way. Every one of us. We can't help it. That's the way it is. Ever since Adam, we have a problem. That's the first thing we need to realize. Next, you need to understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. Hebrews 10:5, I think we might have that one. Wherefore, well, I'm sorry about this version. We don't have the versions that I want yet, but that's okay. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body thou didst prepare for me. What He's saying, God, when Jesus came into the earth, God gave Him a human body. Therefore, He's just like you and me. Therefore, He can relate to us. Are you following me? Well, you don't understand, man. You don't understand the things I've been through in my life. You don't understand the things that have happened to me. You don't understand the temptations that I endured. You don't know what my mom did to me. You don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what happened to me over here. You don't know about that. This is what Jesus does. He came and He took on the form of a man. He was just like us. He had flesh and bones and blood. Therefore, He's on the same level as us. He's on the same page. He can relate to us. That's what that means. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 tells us, and I'm just going to tell you real quick, what He did. He willingly covered the God part of Himself. Jesus did. He's died in the flesh. He put that part aside. He put the God part aside. It was still there, but He covered it up. The Bible says He cloaked it. And he learned to be like, He was just like you and I. He was raised as a little tiny baby all the way up to a man. And He learned, the Bible says, humility. He learned how to relate to us. Man, you talk about a greater love. It doesn't get any greater than that. Okay? The next thing He did, Jesus faced our greatest fear, and He defeated it. Can anybody tell me what the greatest fear in a man or a woman's life is? Anybody? No, man, okay. Next time you keep your hand down because you keep getting them right. Maybe give somebody else the opportunity. All right, no, that's good. That's good. The greatest fear we have is death. Okay? The greatest fear we have is death. I mean, think about it. When you die, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, death is a scary thing. It's scary enough for those of us who are Christians. I don't want to die, okay? But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die right now, I would go straight to heaven. I know that because that's what Jesus told me. And I put faith in what Jesus did, okay? And we'll talk more about the evidence of resurrection here in just a few minutes. But your greatest fear and my greatest fear is death. Hebrews 2:15 tells us that Jesus came to free us from the fear of death. He came here to free us from that. He had no human father. He had no sin. He had no fear. Have you ever thought about this? You remember the symbol that was popular a few years back? No fear. Does anybody remember that? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. No fear. All right. There's only one person that's ever walked the face of the earth that had no fear, and it was Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman has had fear at some point. Jesus had no fear. You have Luke 22:44. This is one, you know. This is going to come up. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. That's Luke 22:44. This is what was going on in the life of Jesus the night that he died. The night before he died. He was in the garden, and he was praying. He knew what was about to happen to him. And the Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood. And someone may say, well, wasn't he experiencing fear right here? And I'm here to tell you that he was not. The word for agony, is that what we have on this one? Yeah, agony. That word means the place of contest. It means the arena, or the stadium, a battle, the assembly of Greeks at their national games. Jesus was entering into a competition. He was not scared. He had no fear. But he knew that this competition would require more strength than any person has ever displayed throughout in human history. And so he sweat great drops of blood, but he was never once scared. He faced death like a man. He gave a meaning to that statement that we couldn't even comprehend. But what I want you to understand, if we have the fear of death, Jesus Christ faced it and defeated it. Why in the world wouldn't you want to put your faith in him? Okay? He trusted God. He knew that God would rescue and restore him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he would die, but he trusted God. He overcame that fear of death. He never experienced it. So our greatest enemy, the fear of death, was defeated by our greatest love, Jesus Christ. Tap into that greater love. See? Okay? Your fears, your dreads, whatever they are, take them to Christ. Now how do we defeat it? I want to tell you something. For any of you history buffs in here, I know there's somebody that are, there's more evidence for the resurrection of Christ than there is for the existence of Julius Caesar. Did you know that? We hear about Julius Caesar, and we're like, oh yeah, he was a real man. We know all about him. This happened and that happened, and he was stabbed 44 times by whoever. You know, we know all about Julius Caesar. But when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, oh, that's a bunch of bunk. That's just a bunch of bunk. You can't prove that. Man, there's more evidence of his resurrection than there is of not only Julius Caesar, but a lot of different people, their existence and whatnot. There's more there. Okay? I want to mention four things. First of all, the Roman guard who were assigned to the tomb. Listen, let me back up for a minute. The whole reason I'm doing this tonight, the whole reason that we're presenting the gospel, that I'm presenting the gospel, is that first of all, God laid it on my heart. And second, there's somebody here that's not a believer. Okay? I don't know if it's in this room or out there with the young people or the juniors, but somebody needs Jesus. Okay? So we're going to talk about him tonight. Anyway, four things. There's more evidence that they're talking about his resurrection. First of all, the Roman guard who were assigned to the tomb. If you know anything about the Romans, they were some of the toughest jokers to ever walk through, one of the toughest armies ever. They were only about 5'3". They were little by our standards. But they would defeat armies of guys that were 6'6". Okay? They were disciplined. They were ruthless. They were well-trained. And they did exactly what they were told. The Bible tells us that there were about 30 of them. 20 to 30 of them guarding the tomb of Christ. And the Bible also tells us that they fell asleep on the job. At least that's what they were told to say. Now, if a Roman guard falls asleep, the penalty is instant death. Okay? There's absolutely no way that a Roman guard of 20 or 30 guys would all fall asleep. It's just not going to happen. Okay? Therefore, something crazy happened in the resurrection of Christ. You know, this big old huge stone was rolled away and all the Roman guards were asleep. I don't think so. Okay? Number two, the condition of the grave clothes of Christ. Y'all ever read the story of I'll just tell you. Whenever they wrapped the tomb, a body in those days, what they would do is they'd take these strips of cloth and they'd wrap it real tight, and the body's like this, you know, like kind of like a mummy. And in between those strips of cloth, they would put something called nard. Nard was a spice, so that the body, as it decayed, wouldn't smell so bad. One of the effects of that nard, as it dried and whatnot, is it became like a shellac. It became like this. It became real hard, like a shell. Okay? When John and Peter, when they ran to the grave to see if Jesus, you know, they heard the stone had been rolled away. They hauled him to the grave, and they looked inside. You know what John saw? No, what he saw was an empty shell. And when you understand what the Greek says, he saw this real hard shell in the shape of a body, and he could stick a hand at it because there was nothing there. Jesus wasn't there. He was gone. Reason number three, the change in the disciples. How could they go from cowards to being courageous? How could they go from people who denied Jesus, ran like cockroaches the night he was crucified, okay? How could they do that to be willing and to give up their lives for Christ? You don't change like that unless something drastic has happened in your life. Okay? And finally, number four, none of the enemies of Christ ever denied his resurrection. Nobody ever denied his resurrection. They devised plans to cover it up. Did you hear what I just said? The people who hated Christ, who hated Christians, they hated them. They never once denied the resurrection. They just devised plans to cover it up. Those are four proofs, guys, that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? Four of them. There's more. I'm telling you, man, if you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, you hear that. Jesus Christ walked out of that grave. The next step to this greatest love thing, the next step to this path of greatest love, is it is a free gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. If I give you this Bible, what have I just done? It's a gift. Is it not on my bone test, Mike? Okay. But if I give it to you, it's a gift, right? I didn't make you pay for it or anything. Alright? That's what salvation is, guys. It's that simple. It's a free gift. You put faith in me, Jesus says, I'll save you for eternity. Boom, just like that. You ever heard the story in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well? She and Jesus are having a conversation. She does not believe in him, okay? But by the end of the talk, she does. And Jesus makes a very important statement to her. He says in John chapter 4, verse 10, he says, and Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But what is living water? The living water he's talking about is eternal life. He's illustrating it. He is eternal life. When you ask Jesus for a drink, guys, he's going to give you eternal life. He's going to give you the water that never runs out. One day, this body of ours is going to fall apart. Mine already is. I'm only 48 years old. And my feet hurt, my knees hurt. I never thought that day would come. When Ryan runs into me, about knocks me over anymore. Okay? And I didn't used to be that way. You know, I could knock out whatever many push-ups, and now I gotta do it to you, and I gotta wait. Alright, look, this body is decaying. Okay? But every one of us inside of us has something called a soul. And it's not gonna decay. It's gonna keep on trucking. When your body dies, your soul's gonna keep on going. And it's gonna go on for eternity. And you need to decide right now which way it's gonna go. And it's up to you as an individual. Am I gonna put my faith in Christ and spend eternity with Him? Or am I going to turn my back on Him and not do it and spend eternity away from Him? Most important decision you'll ever make. But getting back to our illustration of the woman at the well. Jesus said, talking about eternal life, take it right now, just where you are, okay? Just who you are, and just how you are. You don't have to change anything about yourself. You don't have to become a better person in order to be a Christian. You don't have to set it aside. You don't have to do, you know, go over here. You can do it right now, right here where you sit. You can make that decision for Christ right now. He takes you just as you are. He knows who you are. He's the God of the universe. There's nothing you can hide from Him. Okay? I don't care how bad of a life you've lived. I don't care what you've done. Okay? And it doesn't matter. Christ, God loves you. And He's offering you eternal life. He goes on to say in verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 4, drink this water, you will never get thirsty again. Drink of the water that I offer, eternal life, you will never thirst again. In fact, that eternal life I give you will become a well in your soul that will never run dry. Those are words of truth, people. That's what Jesus offers to you and I today. So the path to the greatest love, guys, we are born spiritually dead, destined to spend eternity separated from God. We are born with a desire and a need placed there by God, but what we end up doing is turning to other people and places and things, and we're never satisfied. Okay? God put it there, and only God can fulfill it. Okay? You know, Bobby Joyner used to talk about a God-sized hole in your heart, a God-shaped hole, you know? Everybody, you read the words of those songs. You read them, you know? People are searching, they're seeking, trying to find something to fill that hole that only God can fulfill. And lo and behold, when you meet Jesus as your Savior, man, it's a perfect fit. You see? Because He's the only one that can do that. Since we were born spiritually dead, we look to other people to satisfy us. God saw our hopeless problem, sent His Son to be like us to solve it. Jesus Christ faced and defeated our greatest fear, the fear of death. Jesus walked out of the grave, and the greatest love is free of charge. Okay? So when we think about tapping in to a greater love, we need to realize how simple it is. You're going to get opportunities this week in your cabins, with your counselors, during Bible studies, whatnot. You're going to get opportunities to talk about these things, guys. If you have questions in your mind, if you're just not quite sure about what I'm saying tonight, or not quite sure about what this Jesus thing is, find out. There's people here that would love to tell you all about Christ. Okay? It's very important, the most important decision we ever make. For the last few minutes here, I want to take you to John chapter 14. I think that one's there, isn't it? Yeah. John chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. I'm going to read it out of this Bible. And then he's going to, Connor, if you can just kind of go along with me. John 14, 27 through 31. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, the peace that Jesus gives, the world can't give you that, guys. Alright? Remember what I told you, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do whatever the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. These are the words that Christ spoke the night before He was crucified. And there's four things that I want you to see out of this passage. When you think about Jesus Christ, there's four things here that He promised us. I'm sorry, actually five things. First of all, His peace. He promised us His peace. And when I mean peace, I mean the peace of your soul. Something that you just can't explain. You see, when you come to know Him as your Savior, there's a peace there that you can't explain. See? And the peace that He speaks of is the peace with God. The hurt, the pain, the fear, the uncertainty, Jesus wipes all that away. Okay? The disciples, the world is about to fall apart. He's about to go to the cross, alright, and He's telling them, that he's going to give him peace. Colossians 3:15 tells us, let the peace of Christ reign, rule in your hearts. Isaiah 9:6, he is the Prince of Peace. Philippians 4:6 and 7, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell it to God, and when you do, his peace, the same peace of Jesus, will guard your heart and your mind from worry. Next thing is his pledge. He is going away, but he will come back. When Jesus makes a promise, he keeps it. He's telling the disciples, I'm about to leave for a while, but I'm going to come back. And I can assure you right now, young people, and everybody in this room, Jesus Christ is going to come back. If he said he would, he's going to. The next thing he promised is his perspective. His perspective is beyond the pain and the suffering. Okay? He knows the cross is coming. But it's centered in the joy of the resurrection. This is what he's looking at. He's looking at everything from an eternal perspective. Hebrews 12:2 says this, Jesus endured the cross, the shame and death, because he knew what was coming after. There's the resurrection. That's his perspective. When you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus, you have that same eternal perspective. You know why? Because one day he's going to come back and take you to where he is. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Okay? The next thing is his prediction. Okay? The disciples, the pain, the doubt, the despair, the fear, the uncertainty, that's all going on right now. But a few days from now, they would look back and say, and not forget all that, but they have a different perspective because Jesus will have risen from the dead. And finally, his power. He promised power to you and I. Satan may presently rule this world, but he has no power over Jesus, nor to those who believe in him. Does that mean that your life is going to be easy and without pain and suffering? No. But when you have Christ in your heart, you have a different perspective. Things are different. You have peace. And that's what we're offering you tonight. That's what Jesus is offering you. All I am is a conduit, guys. I'm a mouthpiece is all I am. All right? I'm completely useless outside of his power. And when I speak, I'm speaking the words of truth. I'm speaking the words of Christ. And the choice is yours. It's where you sit right now. You can become a believer in Christ. And you can have that greatest love. You can tap into it. But you got to make that choice. Will all the counselors stand up for a second? Counselors and teachers. See all these people standing up right now? Any one of them. You approach any one of them. If you have questions, okay, you got to sit back out there. And they'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. But they may tell it from a different perspective. And something may click in your mind. If you are not certain about your salvation, if you don't know what it means to be a Christian, if you don't know what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, ask any of these people. And as I said, they'll be more than happy to help you. Okay? Is Jason in here?
Taking care of kids.
All right, did he tell you about we're going to pray and play some music? All right, listen.
We got it.
You got it. Okay. I'm going to have a prayer time. Okay? And when I pray, I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to stand up. Okay, but I want you to search your own heart, guys. And if you're not certain about what it means to be a Christian, now's your opportunity. Okay? And it's real simple. I put my faith in what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross. He died for my sins. He solved a problem I couldn't solve. And when I put my faith in him, Lord, you do it. I can't do it. I'm completely hopeless. What he does is he saves you. And when you put the faith in the fact that he rose from the dead on the third day, okay, it's that simple. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Okay? It's that simple. The thief on the cross, good grief, he's nailed to a piece of wood. Okay? All he could do was believe what Jesus said. Okay? He asked Jesus, you know, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Guys, salvation is that simple. So we're going to pray, and we're going to have a few moments of silence, and then I'm going to close this out. Okay? Pray with me.